Hello again. You're listening to the News at One. Sign up for long hours at high intensity or leave. That was the ultimatum issued by Twitter's new boss, Elon Musk, to the company's remaining staff this week. It's now estimated that hundreds of workers at the social media company have decided to go. Today, Twitter has temporarily closed its office in Dublin and in locations around the world. So what next for Twitter? Senior investment and markets analyst at Hargreaves Lansdown, Susanna Streeter, joins us now. Susanna, very good afternoon to you, and thanks for talking to us on the programme. So what are we witnessing here? Some stroke of business genius that seems to be not terribly clear to most people, or is this Elon Musk taking the wrecking ball to the business of Twitter?
What I think we're seeing again is Elon Musk's impulsive nature out in force. It's causing mayhem at Twitter again, with this order to close down offices in response to mass walkouts. Now, you know, as you indicated, being seen as a bit of an existential threat in some quarters, others may feel that given his track record in really building up other companies, this may be part of an overall strategy, but it certainly shows his tempestuous nature. What's happened is it seems that there's a kind of weekend reboot to assess core staff levels to try and kind of ensure operational capability. And now, this isn't in itself a sign of Twitter's imminent decline, I don't think. But I think the chaotic nature of his pretty short tenure as CEO is a clear cause for concern, because advertisers who had stayed loyal despite concerns over the direction the company was taking are likely to reassess their deals with a boss who appears to hold so little regard for his employees. You know, it's the nature of the redundancies, the banning of employee criticism, and also this demand that staff sign up for long hours at high intensity. I mean, they're not really social values, are they, that companies are going to want to align with?
He took to Twitter himself, unsurprisingly, last night to say he wasn't worried about the resignations as, quote, the best people are staying. But it's often the case in this kind of redundancy program, even when they're well managed, that actually it's the best people who leave because they're the ones who can get a job elsewhere.
Yes, and it's exactly the types of jobs that are at the central of this, which will be really important. Because while losing key editorial staff will be a bit of a blow amid key promotional periods like the World Cup, Black Friday, and of course the festive season coming up, I think it's the exodus of crucial engineering staff, which could prove particularly onerous for the functionality of the platform and also for any efforts to try and offer fresh services to attract new users. I mean, it's going to be difficult to do that and to try and turn the fortunes around of the company if they don't have the staff really to behind the backbone of the company. So, you know, on the app, though, it does appear as though it's business as usual. We've got thousands of fears of Twitter's demise circling his tweets, and it's proof that for now it is clearly still operational.
Yeah, there have been some, I think, some technical problems, but in the scale of things, relatively minor at this stage. But all eyes, obviously, will be on the platform over the weekend to see how it copes.
Yes, and as fast as employees appear to be leaving through the doors, users also seem to be deserting to other platforms. But remember, of course, Elon Musk has form in pulling off what appears to be unattainable feats, not least sending rockets into space. So he's clearly confident he can survive these latest challenges. But if, as rumours, he's faced with a highly demoralised and skeleton workforce, he's going to have to pull off yet another remarkable turnaround to try and keep Twitter alive.
The $44 billion that he paid was for the most part funded by outside investors. There's some of his own money in it, but the lion's share comes from others. They'll be looking, I presume, nervously at this, but they're in. They've got to stick with it. They don't really have an option at this stage, do they?
No, and we're talking about big banks, big Wall Street banks, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, also Barclays, as part of the trio of banks, providing $13 billion in financing. They provided that. And actually, what they did is that they hung on to that debt. Well, the plan was to actually try and sell it to investors, but they have not been syndicating this debt and instead are keeping it on their balance sheets until there's more investor appetite. But will there be any more investor appetite? It doesn't look like it right now. So this isn't good news for those banks, nor the other equity investors. I mean, there's billionaires, Mark Anderson, Larry Ellison, also Qatar's sovereign wealth fund as well, which is also backed this deal. So certainly they'll be keeping a close eye on what's going on.
So we're some way away, you would say, would you, Susanna, from any of those investors calling in their loans?
Yes, I mean, I think so. What they'll want to see, and I'm sure they're getting it from Elon Musk, that, look, this is a way of restructuring Twitter to reposition it for the future.
Stick with me.
Yes, I'm sure that's the message that they're getting from Elon Musk. That's what he's trying to portray anyway.
Susanna Streeter from Hargreaves Lansdown, thanks very much for that.